This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
The Loop is the economic heart of the city of Chicago. Change is the one constant of life in Chicago's Central Business District. It has gone from a place that came to life at 9 o'clock in the morning and emptied out at 5 in the evening to a cultural destination. The Loop is home to theaters and concerts. It's also one of Chicago's fastest-growing neighborhoods. Tens of thousands of people call The Loop home. I'm WBBM Noon Business Hour host Rob Hart. And this week on At Issue, we talked to Chicago Loop Alliance President and CEO Michael Edwards about the evolution of The Loop, the disruption brought on by COVID-19, and the risks to future growth on this weekend's edition of At Issue.
Michael Edwards, President and CEO of the Chicago Loop Alliance, thank you for joining us today on At Issue. And I'm going to begin with an obvious question that everyone has a different definition, but what is the Loop as far as the Loop Alliance is concerned? Is it the literal CTA Loop? Is it the informal name for the Central Business District? Or is it Chicago between Roosevelt Road and Division?
I would say that your second guess is the best one, and that is it's from the lake to the river on the west, and from the river on the north to Ida B. Wells. So it's about 200 blocks.
And how has the Loop fully recovered from the COVID-19 shutdowns? Because I feel like you and I have spoke a number of times, even going back to 2020, in the spring of 2020, when everybody went home and the Loop was a literal ghost town. I mean, you had coyotes walking down empty streets. That is how empty the Loop was during the initial COVID shutdown phase. How has the Loop recovered since then, and has it fully recovered since 2020?
Well, I'd say it's recovered in a much different way. So it's a much more of an evening location and a much more of a weekend location for people, or destination for people. Office hasn't come back, as I think we all know, and that's similar to cities all across the country. We're at about 65% on average, maybe 30% on Fridays, and 75 to 80% most of the week. So it feels pretty much like it always did Monday through Thursday. Arts and culture is back. That shut down completely, of course, for the pandemic. They were the first ones in and the last ones out of the pandemic. But we had, you know, $280 million worth of activity. Over a million people first quarter of this year, in the middle of the winter, came back to the Loop. And housing is on fire. The prices of renting a place in the Loop is going up and up, largely because we stopped building during the pandemic.
As someone who has worked 5 days a week during the pandemic, during the depths of the pandemic, and then afterwards in the office here at the radio station, I feel like I'm a pretty keen observer, mm-hmm. anecdotally, as to how things look in downtown Chicago. And starting in 2022, because you had the Omicron variant, it almost seemed like it was 2020 in the winter of 2022, just as how quiet things were after the holidays. And the mornings, you still get a sense, you know, walking from the train down Randolph to Prudential Plaza, that office traffic are the numbers that you cited. It's not fully back to the way it was. But on the way home, going down Randolph back to Ogilvie Transportation Center, mm-hmm. I feel like Walter Payton most days, because you're juking and dodging and trying to get around all the people who are going to the Niederlander Theater or walking down mm-hmm. State Street or taking pictures under the clock at Marshall Fields. It does feel like Chicago, and the Loop especially, is a lot more active than it used to be after 12 o'clock in the after lunchtime.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's absolutely the case. And we're really pleased about that. And arts and culture have always been the secret sauce in the Loop, because we have a lot, like only the second most to Times Square. And so people come from all over the region to come to arts and culture in the Loop. And we're really happy about that.
And then, what were some of the turning points in the Loop's economic recovery? Was it really the Taylor Swift and Beyonce shows that got people back into the city to stay in 2023?
Well, you know, we're a lot like a lot of other cities. So I just traveled to Asia, and cities over there have gone through similar things that we've gone through here. Those big concerts, I think those were an important part of what was going on. When Messi comes, that's an important thing. And so those big opportunities for everybody to get together, Beyonce concert, Taylor Swift concert. You know, we need to make more of those. You know, this weekend is the NASCAR, and that was another big turning point, got people back downtown for other reasons than they ever had before. So we just need to do more of that kind of thing. My understanding is the Blues Festival this year was one of the best ones ever. Suenos is now a permanent part of what goes on in the Loop. So there's lots of reasons for people to come downtown, lots of different kind of people coming downtown, enjoying being in Chicago.
And that's interesting. You mentioned the Suenos Music Festival, because I was downtown with my family that Memorial Day weekend, and we're trying to walk up North Michigan Avenue. And set aside all of the discussion about the future of North Michigan Avenue, and we will talk about that mm-hmm. later in this program, mm-hmm. but you're trying to cross the bridge, and it'll take you an hour because you're being stopped by so many people who are taking selfies or family mm-hmm. pictures over the water. It was a beautiful day at the in late May. You wanted to get that lake vista in the background. Mm-hmm. You wanted to see all the buildings in the background. So that certainly did its job in terms of getting people into downtown. And as you point out, that is as important a date on the local music calendar as Lollapalooza.
Yep, absolutely. It's absolutely true.
And then when it comes to, we talked before about how the Loop was, and maybe it still is, Chicago's fastest growing neighborhood, and that residential population is the reason why there was a higher floor under the Loop's recovery coming out of the depths of COVID.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we had done a study just before the pandemic hit, and we have 45,000 people that live in the Loop, which includes a little bit of the South Loop, not much. It's just a census tract issue. But they also are relatively wealthy. Average family income is $105,000. They're well-educated, and they're between the ages of 32 and 55. So they're in their prime spending years, which is really good for downtown. Some of them have chosen to stay even as they've had children. Others typically would probably move out to the suburbs where there might be a little bit more room to raise kids. But we have increasing families downtown because it's such a good place to live.
And you talk about NASCAR being this weekend mm-hmm. because the fact that the Loop is now home to so many families, there's a little bit of friction between people who live here, people who work here, people who live and work in the Loop, and these large events. You know, Lollapalooza, there's always some griping about Lolla mm-hmm. when they come to town, but there's also been a great deal of you know, discussion, let's put it that way, about the benefits of bringing NASCAR here. Is it worth the disruption? What about noise? Is the city actually getting a good deal? But as far as accelerating, no pun intended, the Loop's economic recovery coming out of the depths of COVID-19, did NASCAR accomplish its mission, and would you like to see it return?
It absolutely accomplished its mission. The visuals associated with it, despite the rain, were tremendous. You can't buy that kind of advertising. Well, I suppose you can if you have a bazillion dollars. But it was just made the Chicago and the Chicago skyline look great and really encouraged people to check out Chicago as a visitor or even as an investor. Is there an issue with residents? Certainly. But there's a lot of issues with residents living in a dynamic urban environment. It's sort of the price you pay for your access to all of the great things that are downtown. And so the NASCAR folks and certainly the city administrations have been really sensitive to the needs of the residents. And I think this year is the shortest timeline to tear up or tear down and put it together. So we're, you know, excited that it's going to be a great event this year.
I have managed during all three NASCAR weekends, for reasons that have nothing to do with the race itself, I have been out of town every NASCAR weekend, and which gives me a unique perspective on the race because then I can watch it as a TV viewer elsewhere. And you are correct when it comes to like just the television display that the NASCAR street race is when you watch it elsewhere. And even the one year in 2023 when you had the torrential rain, we had rain last year as well.
Right.
As a TV program, it succeeds beyond, I think, anyone could have imagined.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And we're looking forward to it continuing. We have no idea, but we're hoping that it will continue efforts 3-year run.
We're talking about the present and future of the Chicago of the Loop with Michael Edwards, president and CEO of the Chicago Loop Alliance. You're listening to At Issue on WBBM News Radio. One clear trend coming out of COVID and the work from home trend is corporations reducing their office footprint.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And will that trend persist? I mean, what are you hearing just based on businesses bringing their employees now back to the office 4 or 5 days a week?
Right. So I think that is a very difficult issue and one that's going to hurt many people, investors in property largely. I would say this, that there's a lot of properties in the Loop that are doing quite well, typically along the river and along Wacker and along the river. Those are newer buildings with higher amenity packages. Those are 96% occupied and people are coming back because there's amenities for them. Inside the Loop, deeper inside the Loop on historic properties, typically class B or even, you know, class 1A, 1-A, you know, they're not doing quite as well and they're difficult to convert into residential. So we got a little bit of an issue there. So that's sort of the problem in the Loop. The economics of it is, though, a lot of Loop businesses move to Fulton Market and sort of newer places. And what they're doing is they're taking half as much space, but they're currently paying twice as much rent as they would be paying in the Loop. Unheard of, really. So I think when new companies come to town, and they are coming to town, and they're locating here, when they look at the price difference from Fulton Market at $80, it was kind of a made-up number, but not really, $80 and the Loop.
Per square foot.
And with all of the Loop's connectivity through all of the public transit that we have, they're going to make a decision in favor of the Loop. So my feeling is that as new companies come in and as the economy grows, which is going to take much.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Longer, they're going to choose the Loop. They have to choose the Loop. They've been choosing the Loop for the last 150, 200 years.
And when you talk about the types of buildings that are really attractive to businesses that are looking at the Loop, first off, how important was it from the Loop Alliance's perspective that you managed to find a buyer for 311 Wacker, which I think colloquially we all know it as the White Castle building. I do believe that the castle design at the top of that particular skyscraper is the architect's the wedding band for the architect's wife, I think. If I remember my Chicago River cruise correctly, that may be the fun fact about that building. But the fact that it found a buyer and it wasn't going to become the world's largest demolition, mm-hmm. which was a potential right. fate for that building. It could have been right. dismantled, but they actually found a buyer and they met and it will have a future. How big of a deal was that to the Loop Alliance in terms of establishing and maintaining the economic might of the Loop?
Yeah, absolutely. Projects like that, and there's been a few of those, not just that one. And of course, the Google coming to LaSalle Street is just an enormous shot in the arm for the Loop, and we're really pleased about that. In fact, we're hoping to meet up with some of our Google friends at the NASCAR event this weekend to make sure that they're comfortable coming into the Loop and if there's anything that we can do for them. So I think those, there's some key buildings that are really special buildings that need to stay in the Loop, to be renovated into the Loop, into office, and a lot of them are going to be converted into residential. The administration's done a great job on LaSalle Street. They've set aside $500 million in order to create 1,400 units of housing, many of which are affordable. That's a new way of thinking about LaSalle Street, and I'm really excited about what that's going to be.
I do want to talk about the two projects, and that is one of the items on the agenda, mm-hmm. but you also mentioned Google and the fact that they are repurposing and renovating the Thompson Center.
Huge.
And staking their future on this particular building. Now, speaking as a Helmut Jahn nerd myself, mm-hmm. Who really enjoyed going into that building when it was the State of Illinois building, it always seemed to me like a 1980s vision of the future. So I was glad that Google managed to find a way to keep the Thompson Center and all the things that made it great. But the fact that a company like Google planted their flag across the street from City Hall in this iconic building, what kind of message does that send?
It's a huge message. In fact, before they located there, a lot of properties were in distress around the Thompson Center. And, they were going to be sold at, a fire sale. And as the Google project became more real and as the building and the glass starts to change and it starts to look like a brand new building, those buildings are now being held. And there's interest in renting space in those buildings and people want to be around Google. And so that, that could affect the six surrounding blocks in a big way, especially on LaSalle Street. So it's an enormous project. It's the biggest shot in the arm we could have ever gotten.
Now, on the other side of LaSalle Street, down by Jackson, that used to be not only the financial headquarters of Chicago, but basically the entire Midwest. The Board of Trade mm-hmm. building on Jackson, and it was always, you would see it in like the publicity photos for the 20th Century Limited, projecting the economic might of the Midwest. If you're an important business person, you would leave Manhattan on the train at 5 in the evening, and then you would be right there in front of the Board of Trade building to do very important business in Chicago the next morning. But the center of the financial universe in Chicago gravitated west a little bit. It's no longer LaSalle Street. It's Wacker Drive. And as a result, you have all of these buildings, 1930s vintage buildings that don't have a future as offices, but they do have a future as housing. And how is that project going?
Right. So the reimagined LaSalle Street project's going great. My understanding is the Board of Trade building is being managed and operated by a company called R2. They're having some kind of celebration next week, a big opening. My understanding is it's 75% occupied. They've done a great job of converting that building. There are three other projects that have been identified by the mayor's office to do housing, some kind of housing conversion, multi-use, but has a big housing element to it. The Prime Group and Mike Reschke has done an amazing job with former office buildings, converting them into hotels. And so there's the Chicago LaSalle Hotel, which is gorgeous. Starts on the 21st floor, high end, busy all the time. And so I think the street is changing into something else. I think it'll be much more than just a neighborhood housing street. I have that with regards to housing. I have advocated that the Board of Trade might be a great place for a grade school that's got that big, huge trading floor. It seemed to me it could be converted into some kind of educational facility that might actually drive families to LaSalle Street.
And I think the great thing about those particular buildings on that side of LaSalle Street that may no longer have life as offices, they're very cool architecturally. Mm. I mean, I remember when I was younger and I would take the train into and out of LaSalle Street Station, you'd miss a train and then just try to kill time by walking through some of these office buildings. And there's so many neat little Art Deco finishes here, there, and everywhere. And if this is back in the 90s, too. So you still had some hints of mid-20th century economic might. There was one building on Jackson that was next to the Board of Trade that still had a bank of Bell Telephone System phone booths. And if they're still there today, I would be really surprised. But mm-hmm. you walk into these buildings, the history is definitely there, and I would imagine that would make it very attractive.
Yeah, and many of them are, you know, they're as wide as the whole block, so you can walk in on LaSalle and come out on Clark. And there's it's like a city inside that building. They need to be occupied by more people and more businesses. But they're grand old spaces. There's a couple where the second floor is just filled with desks. And they're big banking halls. I'm not exactly sure what, there used to be five of them on the street. There's two left. And there's people in lived in Chicago, you know, 100 years that haven't ever been in those. LaSalle Street's been sort of a fortress. Only the bankers can come in. But it's really a street that should be celebrated by all people from Chicago.
You're listening to Ad Issue on WBBM News Radio. We are talking about the past, present, and future of the Loop with Michael Edwards, president and CEO of the Chicago Loop Alliance. You talk about how when it comes to attracting office tenants to the Loop, that the competition is now other neighborhoods in the city, and that Fulton Market that's the hot place to place your business. When you're talking to businesses that may be relocating to other cities or maybe contemplating relocating out of Chicago, what is the competition? Is it other areas of Chicago, or is it Houston or Miami or, you know, Charlotte, North Carolina? And if that's the case, what's the value proposition that you present to them? But, like, you know, stay here in Chicago or come to Chicago.
Right. So on the expense side, some big companies, you know, have recently moved to Washington, D.C., Miami, and other places, mostly complaining about the taxes, property taxes, commercial taxes, both state and local. And, you know, I totally get that. I mean, that's something that, you know, they have to deal with. On the other hand, when they go to those other markets, the cost of labor and the cost of the employees that they're going to pick up are probably higher than they are here in the Midwest. For example, Google, one of the reasons they located here is because whenever someone applies to work at Google, the number one location they pick of where they want to be is in Chicago. And it's largely because the wages are good and the cost of living is less than, for example, out in San Francisco. And so there's you have to, you know, take a little while to educate people and to give them some different perspectives on what it is to live in Chicago as compared to San Francisco or L.A. or New York.
We live in a world of viral video and social media accelerating things that may happen. It used to be a local story, then it's now it's a worldwide story. And how does viral videos of bad things happening in the Loop, how does that complicate your job? And what do you do to talk people down from who maybe have trepidation about the future of the Loop based on things they might have seen on Twitter or TikTok or elsewhere?
Right. So we have a 5-year strategic plan. It was developed a couple of years ago. And there's kind of two things that we think are a problem. One is that people have lost confidence in the Loop. This is a little while ago. I think it's returning. But one of the reasons, or a couple of reasons why they've lost confidence, is that they hear all the reports on the news of some, you know, shenanigans downtown, or they hear about something on the train. And so they just don't feel confident in their experience when they come downtown. And so we work very closely with the police department. I mean, we're not police. We can't do a lot about that. But we do have safety ambassadors. We are very connected to the police department to try to anticipate things that might happen and put ourselves in a position where we can make sure someone's experience when they come down, a family of four, you know, should have a great experience the minute they get on the train and the minute they get off the train, go up the steps and wind up on State Street. That experience needs to be managed, and we think about that all the time. It used to be when people came downtown, as soon as they got off the train, then we would start worrying about them. Now we're worried about them when they get on at Addison and come all the way downtown. We need to think about the entire long journey that they're having.
And it's interesting because even though the Loop has its challenges today, it's probably in a much better state of repair than it was 40 or 50 years ago. Because you spend some time looking at those, you know, nostalgic Chicago Facebook pages, and there's a picture of a bunch of people looking at the windows of Marshall Fields in the 1970s and saying, boy, I wish things were just like they were back then, because the downtown Chicago is gone here, there, and everywhere. And I want to say, look, a couple of blocks away and around the corner from these Christmas windows at Marshall Fields in the 1970s is an adult movie theater called the Shangri-La. Mm-hmm. And there were many others like it in downtown Chicago. And now it's the site of a luxury hotel. So today, the downtown Chicago experience is probably head and shoulders above what it was 50 years ago.
Absolutely. That's absolutely true. I've been in the business of downtown since the early 1990s. And, you know, the 80s cities were starting to come back. But it really wasn't until groups like ours got really involved with the police to make sure downtowns were clean and safe. It's a very much a Disney idea that, you know, the main street should just be such a great experience that people will want to come back. And that's evolved over time to include marketing and events to manage downtowns. They used to be managed by people who owned the buildings, the local Chamber of Commerce. All these buildings are owned by REITs. They're owned by people that don't live here. Many of the stores on State Street are nationals. And so you need an organization like Chicago Loop Alliance or the Magnificent Mile Association to really think about the future of State Street and the Loop. And what is it we can do to make sure that we can put it in a position so that a business person can make an investment decision in favor, or a family can decide in Naperville can decide to come downtown, enjoy State Street on their way to a Cubs game, for example.
And you touched on two possible risks to the Loop going forward. One is the public safety aspect of it and making sure that everyone has a safe experience in the Loop. But you also talk about how now you want to make sure it's your good experience in the Loop, hypothetically, begins the moment you get on the train.
Right.
And the future of public transit funding in the Chicago area is very much in doubt.
It is.
And how much, you know, if the RTA and the CTA and CTA and Metro and Pace all have to enact these draconian budget cuts in order to make ends meet, how does that impact the Loop?
It'll be a very negative thing for the Loop. I'm not sure the Loop could survive it, to be frank. I mean, if right now, when you get up in the morning, you kind of have an option whether you even want to get on the train, because you can work from home. And it's only the energy and the excitement and maybe your boss that's kind of getting you on the train to come downtown. Well, if there's no train, the boss isn't going to win that argument. You're going to just stay at home, and we're going to lose again. And so, you know, the Loop's taken a few hits: the financial crisis, the pandemic, civil unrest, right? And now this potential train thing, in addition to the geopolitical thing that's going on and the tariffs. I mean, there's so much uncertainty. I was just in London, and the folks at Canary Wharf are saying cities are under siege. Cities are under siege, all of these things I just mentioned. And that we need to manage our way out of those things and out of that uncertainty by giving people a positive, stable, consistent, reliable experience when they come downtown.
It took a very long time to build the Loop into what it is today, based on, you know, from that in the 70s and 80s. How long would it take to dismantle that?
You know, probably a much shorter time. In fact, at the peak of the pandemic, I mean, there's a lot of property owners that were really worried about that we were kind of losing downtown, if you will. And I don't think that that's true. I think it's certainly gotten better, but you know, they're still fairly fragile things. Because cities are really what drives the global economy. And, you know, the state of Illinois is terrific. But without Chicago, you know, it doesn't have a lot of place in the world. And so Chicago is really driving the economy here. And it's something that we need to protect. And in order to protect it, people have to be able to use it. And so public transit is, you know, very important.
Michael Edwards of the Chicago Loop Alliance, thank you for joining us on At Issue on WBBM News Radio. If you want to hear this program again, you can find it at WBBMNewsRadio.com or on the Odyssey app. You can also catch the very latest discussion and insights on the present and future of Chicago's economy each weekday on the WBBM Noon Business Hour. Join us next week on At Issue when we discuss the Chicago housing market. Home values are higher than they have ever been, but if you're on the outside looking in, the American dream of home ownership may seem entirely out of reach. Until next week's edition of At Issue, I'm Rob Hart, News Radio 105.9 WBBM.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.